All right, people, you have just seen a scene from Sherlock, which is in its second season on PBS's Masterpiece Mystery. And Benedict Cumberbatch, who plays Sherlock, brilliantly, I have to say, is here to prove that he's just as brilliant when he's not playing Sherlock.
Oh, God, no. Well,
yes,
I've lost
do
already.
It. Okay, I'm just leaving it to you. Did you have any moment of hesitation when you were offered this?
Oh, huge. I mean, not when I was offered it, because by then I'd read the script, but when I first heard of the idea, I think both Martin Freeman and I both kind of flinched, and the idea of reinventing something which is so iconic and so untouchably brilliant in its original form was sort of distasteful and smacked of a cash cow or some kind of horrible cultural kind of cannibalism, pop-eating itself, if you will, and I really shied away from it. I was also a little bit nervous about the idea of stepping into the limelight. I'm realizing by playing an iconic figure, I think it's the 75th or 6th incarnation mine, so, you know, well-trodden footsteps.
Really?
Yeah,
so
a lot of actors have had
Basil Rathbone back in the...
And Jeremy Brett, you must know.
Jeremy Brett.
And Robert Stevens, and I mean, it just goes on and
this
and
guy,
in.
Robert Downey Jr.
That little, yeah, that kind of, yeah. I hope he does well. He's got a lot of promise. I kind of went into it with lots of trepidation, but then I read the script and just completely fell in love with it.
There's something about the voice, the tenor of it.
I think, I went back to the original books. Everyone said, well, how did you prepare for the role? I read the books because I knew that was exactly what had driven Mark and Stephen for this daring idea. And we had a lot to establish that was our own to tailor and author. And yet, at the same time, I had to bring, in my mind, an element of otherworldliness, or at least other timeliness to him. And coming from a posh boarding school, looking the way I do, having done some period dramas, you know, I think the fit was very good, and I think that was what Mark and Stephen wanted to use me for initially. And then I read for them, and they were like, oh, good, our instincts were right. And it's been a marriage of bliss ever since.
How did you want to put yourself forward as this character?
I would say, well, first of all, the deduction scenes are the big kind of walls. I go, wow, okay, that's a good 2.5 pages of incredibly complex plot exposition, but, you know, sharpened and polished into this entire narrative. And so I set about work on those quite early on. I look at the action scenes as well. I also think about, you know, the interaction and the growth of the character and where the relationships are developing. And I just get itchy to do it, to be honest. I mean, they're just really enticing scripts. You just want to get on and get playing, really.
What is wrong with Sherlock Holmes? Does he have Asperger's? Is he... What is it? How?
Look,
do
here's
you
the thing. I mean, I think he's basically... he didn't start this way. He's brilliant. He was obviously a bit of a prodigy at school and an outsider because of that. And I think what happened is, through dint of that isolating experience, he started to hone these very concentrated skills, and they require certain cutoffs. And I think ideally what he's trying to fashion himself into, because he has possibly been hurt, because he does possibly have a heart, is someone who is robotic almost in his logical capacity to deal with people and problems like a machine. And what this series is about, and the gestation of his character and the relationship with Watson that very much humanizes and grounds him, is his growth from this sort of impervious, almost superhero level of intelligence, acquired through dint of hard work, but still almost unreal. He protects that to a point whereby he can't anymore. He has to, and his guard's let down by his feelings, the fact that he's revealed to be human. So we see eventually a humanization of him, I guess. And I don't know, I think that's his biggest problem, is wanting to be more than human and escape the frailties of being human, but while at the same time being human. And I think he's got a gold complex in a way. He wants to be something above a mere mortal.
Have you picked up any of that, Benedict, by just playing him?
No, your imagination works over time. Yeah. So you could be on a train coming back from Cardiff to London, and I'll be sort of looking at the guy opposite, and I'll look at the indent on his wedding ring finger, I'll look at the slight smudge on his shirt, I'll see the small bit of mud on his shoe, and I'll think about the little hair on the sort of bottom of his rolled up trouser leg. Why is that trouser leg rolled up and the other one's tucked into a sock? Someone got dressed in a hurry. So you start to build imaginative pictures, but as he often has, you know, you get into terrible trouble when you try to bring that into reality. And
because he tends
there are these
to
amazing
come
people
right
called
out.
Criminal pathologists, so I understand actually do this on a daily basis. So as an actor sort of slipping into the shoes of someone much better than me, I don't want to then start trying to pretend to do it in real life. You get into all sorts of trouble. But yeah, it's a tempting thing to try, definitely. It's a wonderful skill. And I think what's brilliant about him as an icon for kids, and one of the main things I wanted to come of the first series, was that people would go back to the books, and they did. The sales rocketed, and it was a happy summer for the Sherlock estate, which I was thrilled about.